Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place where I relate to Amazon private label and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of eComsy, and today we bring another special guest. His name is Monte Desai, founder and CEO of Pixie.ai, where they specialize on everything that has to do with helping you generate the right content for your brands on Amazon by using AI. And that's why I wanted to bring Monte today, because that's been something that been changing very fast in the space. AI is pretty much in everybody's mouth, like what is happening, what are the right tools, how to really implement it. And today we're going to be talking about, you know, how solutions such as Pixie is going to allow you to do that much easier, and why you should, you know, be missing out. So Monte, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Hey, Vincenzo, thanks for having me. Doing fantastic.
Thank you, man. Pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much for your time. I know we've been working for a while now, so it's great to finally, you know, have you here. So I guess for those that don't know you, maybe let's start with a brief introduction about yourself, what you guys do at Pixie, and then let's start with the topic, yeah?
For sure. So my name is Monte Desai, CEO and founder of Pixie.ai. Pixie generates visuals that sell on Amazon. And so we serve Amazon agencies and aggregators. The flow is you drop in a photo, get a bunch of visuals, infographics, main image, lifestyle shots. And unlike any other tool, you know, our designs are fully editable. You can make any change that you wish. And then we try to aim for a zero prompt experience. That's our goal.
Awesome.
And then in terms of my background, you know, I can just mention that really quickly, if that's helpful. I spent 5 years at Bain & Company. So I was a consultant working with Fortune 500 CEOs on marketing topics and e-commerce topics. So that's really my background, is more of like a trying to bring big brand expertise to any agency and any seller on Amazon.
Cool. Awesome. I appreciate that intro. Thank you for that. So I guess let's dive into the topic, which is, you know, generating images for your listings on Amazon using AI. I guess the first question that I get every single day when it comes to that is like, you know, why I should be using AI, right? And maybe, you know, keep going the old way of, you know, being very detailed with my own graphic designers, using my own kind of photographer. Like, what is the first kind of quick win you get straight away by using a tool such as yours, for example? Yeah.
When we show designers Pixie and they start using it, they're like, wow, right? Like, you know, our main users are actually designers. It's like their little secret.
they actually say it's not done by them, but it was the AI.
Well, because I mean, it's just so much faster, right? You drop in one photo, you get 20 concepts really, really quickly. You know, a lot of them are actually ready to use on Amazon now. We say that, you know, so you know, let's say in 2 minutes, you can get 20 visuals compliant with Amazon, main images, lifestyle shots, infographics. People are seeing 3x. The click-through rate using our main images, on average, baseline is like 30% growth and click-through rate and conversion rate. But sometimes people are saying 3, 4, 5x. Why would you be stuck in the past? I mean, it's just like a new world has come. It's like, you know, it's like hand drawing when you can use Photoshop, and now the new version is using Photoshop when you can use Pixie. And so, you know, I don't think, like, to be clear, like, I don't think, there's always a role for you know, Figma and Photoshop and all these mm-hmm. tools, but I think you're just in a new world now where AI can do it for you and it can do it much faster. And so, the expectations are also rising. I would say this too, like now agencies are coming back to us and they're like, mm-hmm. like AI is a curse, right? Because like, some of the clients know now. Now they're like, can you just do it today? You know, instead of you used to get like a day or a week or a couple of weeks, but now it's like, can you just do it now? Like, can you just be 20?
I know. I think that's also I guess the one of the negatives of this, that now expectations of people sometimes like crazy. Like, oh no, now because AI is a thing, like you should be able to do things within 1 hour. It's like, yeah, it's true that you can do things faster than ever, but at the same time, there's still the nature of the time will take me to find a product, create the prompt, understand if this is aligned with the brand guidelines and all of that. So I guess that's also creating some mismatch right now.
Well, I mean, it's going to be a really interesting, you know, the next few years, right? Because exactly what you say, it's like, wait, is AI going to save us time, or is it just going to make us do more work? Because now we can, instead of turning out like 3 clients in a day, we can do 10, and like, wait, whoa, you know, a 30, it's gonna be a very interesting time for the next 5 years for sure.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Like I was discussing this with a person the other day, which is, we're going to see companies that maybe have only 10 employees, but each employee has like 100 accounts. It's like at the same time, it can be used to some extent to, you know, create more exploitation, because now you have the excuse, now within 8 hours, you should be able to do X because you have 50 agents under you. But yeah, at the same time, it's the bandwidth that we as human beings have in terms of process so many tasks in a given day, you know?
I mean, I'll give you one example from my old world, like, you know, at this consulting firm, we would hire a ton of these like MBAs from all these fancy schools, mm-hmm. like Harvard, MIT, whatever. And, you know, there's tasks now that I would be like, hey, like as a manager, I'd be like, hey, go research this market and figure out who the big players are and like who's going to win and what is Shine's market share. And that would take like a day, right? And they're very well trained and experienced and all that, really smart. It would take them about a day. And now I wouldn't even ask a person. I would just go to ChatGPT and I would get the answer in about 5 minutes with like 20 citations, and it would make me a presentation. Like, it's a whole different level. And for junior people, you know, I think for them, they have the biggest adaptation to make, right? Because the most low level task that we would use to train junior people, that's disappearing now, right? So a lot of agencies are using Pixie for the first draft, right? Immediately they get a client brief. They immediately get 20 concepts and they show it to the client. And sometimes you would have had a junior person do that. And so what is their role now, you know?
Yeah, very, 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 very tough. You know, like this is something that I think brings me to my next question, which is, you know, with everything you guys are doing at Pixie, with the technology of allowing now founders to be able, or even agencies to be able to do the images of the listings, you know, within a very short period of time compared to what it used to take. Like, at the end of the day, what do you think this is going to lead us in terms of differentiator, right? Because if everybody ends up using AI, I think this is actually another thing that it's kind of interesting, kind of maybe we can call it paradox. It's like if everybody ends up using AI, everybody has access to the best images. Where do you see this space going? Like everybody's going to have 10 out of 10 images, and then who actually wins?
You know? I mean, taste.
Yeah.
Machines don't have taste the way humans do. And
yeah,
you know, and the thing about humans and taste is that it's always changing, right? Like people say the algorithms are always changing, and they are, but our preferences are changing. Like now we want loose jeans, and 10 years ago we wanted skinny jeans, right? And so, that's happening on a super fast cycle. So taste is always going to be there. But, you know, I think this idea of everybody using AI, like,
probably I think we think that everybody's using, but actually it's very little people.
Yeah, it's for you and me probably, right? But we're going, like, I go to conferences and they'll be like, you know, how do you use AI? Like, you know, an AI masterclass, right? You know, I'll go and I'll be like, all right, I'm so excited to learn something. And they're like, use ChatGPT. And I'm like, whoa, come on. Or like, use Trust GPTs. And I mean, we're so advanced now. Like we're doing creative briefs. We're doing entire designs, entire listings. Like I'm doing a lot of my personal life, finances, all kinds of investments, all kinds of stuff using AI now. And so I think for you and me, we're just in this world where we think everybody's using it, and it's not really the case. So you still have time, by the way. If you're not using AI now and you want to differentiate, there's a lot of opportunity. It's still early.
Yeah, yeah. Now, when it comes to your technology, I want to bring this to the table. I think when it comes to AI, there are so many algorithms out there, right? There are many ways that you can essentially engage with the AI to come up with images. And I think something that I'm sure people are going to find very interesting to learn out of this episode is, like, you know, what are some of the things that make Pixie unique when it comes to that? Like, what are some of the things that you would say, you know, we're very good at this or that? Because I think some of the feedback I get a lot of times from people when it comes to AI, that they might say, oh, when I do AI, people come with seven fingers. So all the text maybe is overlaying here with a grammatic mistakes or things like that. So what is your feedback on all of that?
Yeah, so I would say three things that make a standout. So one is you drop in a photo, and you get 20, and they're beautiful, and they're tailored to you, and they work, and you can show them to clients, and you don't have to write new prompts, right? So that's one, zero prompt. The other is that it's editable, right? And so our designs and images, you can take full control in a Canvas editor, and any small thing that the client wants or that you want, you can just change that one thing. And the last thing is, you know, it's optimized for Amazon. Right. We also do work on other platforms as well, but you know, Amazon has a lot of rules, and then beyond the rules, there's a lot of tricks to try to, you know, stand out and convince people to buy. And so, you know, we scraped 100,000 Amazon listings to try to figure out what works, and we've baked that into the product. We've baked that into the templates, because ultimately, I think, like, from a technical perspective, what we found is that people just don't care what tool, what model, what technology. They just want it to work, and they want it to work fast, and that's what we do.
Cool. Now, when it comes to this, how are we essentially navigating the whole thing of the nature of the products when it comes to AI? Because also something I've been hearing, and I want to hear your feedback on this, is for certain products that, depending on the complexity, AI is still better as some products than others, depending on, you know, sometimes the lifestyle that has to show or the environments and things like that. Do you see some categories where you see AI getting very, very accurate when it comes to images? And maybe sometimes product, you say, okay, it's taking a bit longer because of the type of product, the elements that the image needs, that where AI is still struggling. Is there something there, or you think it's become pretty baseline across the board?
You know, so anything that I say now is going to be out of date in about a month.
Yeah,
because the models are moving so quickly. But today, CPG crushes. Like anything that's like a can or a bottle or... you know, food, beauty, health, supplements, those categories, AI has figured out because they're all about the same size and there's like a million images of them. And so those are good. I think the categories where, and those are a lot of volume, by the way. So most agencies that we work with, I mean, every one of those CPG brands needs like a seasonal refresh or a new flavor or, you know, the stuff that it's like still a little bit challenging, I think, is, you know, home goods, sporting goods, because there's just a big variety of what you could have. So furniture does well at, because, you know, AI understands what a couch is and what a lamp is. But if you have like a really odd shaped rack, or, you know, we had someone who was doing, I think someone in your team was actually doing like a mandala shaped. I don't even know what to call it. And so I can't even describe it. I don't know what AI is going to do.
That's fine.
CPG crushes it. Clothing really, really crushes it. And then things beyond that, it starts to get kind of choppy. And the issues that you'll see is it'll get the size wrong. Or that's the main one, probably. It'll get the size wrong. Or it might distort the product a little bit. But I think, you know, if you give it a few months, I think that'll also be gone.
Cool. Now, when it comes to AI implementation as well, something that's been very hot topic, I would say, is how we also make sure these are optimized for Rufus, right? In terms of how Rufus is analyzing images, in terms of the copy they put on the images, the lifestyle, the elements. How are we actually reverse engineering that, if so? Like, are tools such as Pixie also taking that in consideration? And how do you think that's going to play a key role moving forward when it comes to optimizing images as well?
We do optimize for Rufus. You know, I think the whole conversation about, like, getting AI to recommend your product and all that, I mean, if you write for humans, that works pretty well for AI. Amazon, Google, every major platform has moved a long time away from keywords. Like, it used to be, you know, look for the word grapefruit, and it's just like a find and replace or a control F for grapefruit. And that's not been the case for a long time. Semantic search, which is like searching the way humans search and reading the way humans read, that's been happening for a while. And so Rufus does that. So as long as you write your title and your bullets in a way that's, you know, digestible, clear, obvious to any human, then I think it works pretty well. You know, the images, Roof is going to change a lot in the next few years. Like at this point, they went back and forth on whether or not they're using alt text. And so if they say that, yes, we are actually going to go ahead and use alt text, we'll continue to support alt text. But it's unclear, you know, it's unclear where that's going to go, right? There's a world right now where these bots are basically just reading the text. Are they going to read images eventually as well? Because in that case, you want to have a lot of images that tell your story very, very well. Yeah, so a lot of change, but I think the TLDR, in my opinion, is if you're writing good copy for humans and making good visuals for humans, that should do the job for Rufus. There's like, why would they introduce new tricks, right? You have to think about this from their point of view. Like, why would they make it like a little secret?
Yeah, I agree. So I guess when it comes to this is creating all these images another day, and this is something that I'm breaking to also learn from you, is like, given that they are, at the end of the day, is going to be doing all the editing, heavy lifting, integration elements, and so forth, that means you also need to be very good at giving the direction. Like, this is my persona. This is what I want the image to express. These are my brand guidelines. And I think most of the time, people don't have even that defined in the first place, right? And if we don't have that defined, AI, to some extent, is going to create a lot of assumptions, which might not actually convey the right message. So how you see also playing a role here when it comes to that?
That's such a key point. I mean, yeah, it's if you don't know who your customer is and why they're buying your product and how your product stands out from the competition, it'll be really, really hard to design visuals that really stand out. You know, AI can make some inferences. It can say, oh yeah, let's show off these features. Let's make things that are beautiful. But beautiful is not the same thing as selling, right? And so, yeah, I think that's definitely a place that you mentioned, like how do agencies and you know, brands stand out? Like having a good understanding of the customer, I think, is a really, really good place. In terms of our process, what we're seeing a lot of people do is they'll go and write a creative brief by doing things like customer interviews, by looking at reviews and competitors, and then using and dropping that creative brief into Pixie, and then Pixie does all the designing. But I think you're right. Like, that's focus on the customer, right? It always comes back to the customer.
Yeah. If you don't have the right, that's the thing. If you don't have the right persona, like, is you might end up, you know, even when it comes back to the Rufus conversation, you need to really understand the age that you're targeting, the gender, the lifestyle. Otherwise, you end up doing an image that is amazing when it comes to looks, but you actually not convey the message that you want to convey to the image, which is going to have a direct impact on your conversions. You know?
Yeah. Who is your customer? What do they use it for? Right. And so a big thing with Rufus and ChatGPT and others is like use cases where it's like, you know, I need shoes for trail running. And, you know, ideally, the thing is also Rufus doesn't have at this point, it's not really using your history that much. So for example, if it would know that, hey, I prefer wide shoes, it might even say something about that. Like, hey, this shoe runs wide. So you don't need to buy the wide size because the shoe already runs wide. And so they haven't even integrated with all the other Amazon features that do things like that. So, I mean, I think that's where it's going to go, like true contextual learning where, you know, Amazon knows more about the customer and hopefully they expose that more to you, but it's TBD, you know, it's TBD over the next few years.
Yeah. Now tell me how, with AI, especially when it comes to split testing, you think that's also a bit changing the game? Because the reason why I want to bring this topic is like talking about conversion, something that, you know, we recommend and we do internally as well, is split testing the main image, secondary images, A+, and all of that. And that's something in the past was so expensive to do that you do it most of the time once or twice and that's it. But now, like, you know, you can do it pretty much on a monthly basis, so even more, because you have AI solution like yours that can allow you to do it within hours. So are you seeing also people adapting that a lot into the SOPs? Like, how are you seeing also people using AI when it comes to split testing? Yeah.
I mean, that's definitely one of the big use case for sure. So I can talk about some of the use cases if that's helpful from the agency side and the aggregator side. Yeah. So one is A/B testing. Generate 20 main images, you know, get some internal feedback, get some client feedback, and then put them into like PicFu or IntelliV or into some of these tools that help you figure out, you know, what people like, and then just run tests on Amazon itself. right? And then see the winner there. And so, yeah, just as you mentioned, instead of doing it once a year, now you're like, well, why not just do it once a month? You know, why not just keep click-through rate high? That's one use case. Another use case is actually more about speed. So we have some, you know, some folks who are just basically like, hey, let's just rip out a quick listing. Really, really good. We know exactly what we want. We've done a bunch of research. We've been thoughtful about the creative brief. You know, we need to make 100 listings. So let's rip them out really, really quickly. So it's about speed. And then for others, you know, I think it's more about like client retention. And so, and outreach, right? And so you're like, send a free image as part of your outreach or on the first client call when you're pitching them, you could be like, hey, here's some ideas that we have, right? And so you can impress them really quickly with things that are beautiful. And you have a lot of freedom in that time to be rough because you can be like, hey, look, we just did this really quickly. We don't know much about you and what your goals are, but here's some designs. And so those are three use cases that we're seeing.
Cool. And I would say to start bringing this whole conversation to a closure in terms of maybe we can call it like either predictions or tips or mistakes to avoid. Like, what are some of the things that you feel like is something that people should take out of this conversation in terms of AI and when it comes to image implementation? Like, is there some things that you feel are coming that are like in the shadow, especially you that are so deep into the communities and technology that you say, oh, I see people are doing this and most people don't know what is coming, or mistakes that people keep doing? Oh, is there something there that you'd like to share to close to this episode?
Yeah, I mean, you have an opportunity to stand out by using AI. You can, you know, ship designs faster. You can ship designs that make more money. You can ship designs that are more beautiful. Like, and I'm talking like 20 times faster, right? Like minutes, you can have amazing designs and you can still stand out now. Right. There's a lot of brands and agencies that are using AI and they are billing out beautiful listings, but the vast majority are not. And so if you hop on now, it's like 20x the speed. Wait, what? Like, let's do it. You know, social media and you know, like the world of conferences and stuff like that, you get the feeling that, oh, like people talk about AI, but it's not quite there yet. Like, it's there. It's 100% there. People are making money on it. They've reinvented their whole process around it. And so, yeah, now is the time. Don't delay.
Cool, man. I appreciate that. Thank you so much for, you know, all your advice and all your insights. And I'm sure, you know, people might want to, you know, explore more about the tool and everything you guys do. So tell me how people can find you. Yeah.
Pixie.ai, check us out. You know, you can book time with me or one of our sales reps and just get a sense of what the platform looks like. I think that should mention one thing that we're going to do that I think a lot of folks would be interested in is, you know, create one master listing and then scale it to 1,000 listings. So that's one big thing we're working on now. You know the process, right? You make the listing, you get the client's approval, and you're like, all right, well, we have 1,000 other products to do this for. We need before and after.
We had the blueprint, how we copy paste it to the whole catalog, essentially.
But then make it work, right? Like, you know, if you have a curly hair shampoo, that's your master listing, but you have to go for the blonde shampoo and the conditioner and all that stuff. You have to show different images and different visuals. So that's what we're working on now. So that'll be out September. So October. Yeah, it'll be out. I mean, it's an exciting time. I mean, I'm glad to have the conversation with you because it's like so much has changed so quickly and probably everything that we talked about is going to be out of date next month.
I know. I'm very excited as well. I think what is coming for the remainder of the year next year is super, you know, it's going to be mind-blowing for a lot of people. Like, I think most people don't know what is coming and how fast this is moving. And that's why, you know, putting, you know, podcasts like this out there is key so people can, you know, get a glimpse of, you know, what solutions are there, what you should be aware of, what things to avoid. And hopefully that's going to make the whole selling journey much easier. But it's been a pleasure to have you here, Monte. Thank you so much for your time. Looking forward to a partnership, My pleasure.
Yeah, thanks so much, Vincenzo. Have a great day. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, have a good one. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to The E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website, at www.ecomsy.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomsy.